You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Doing the Most by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Luke, the 7th chapter. Luke 7, starting at verse 36. And it says, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat or to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When the Bible says she was a sinner, this means she was a known sinner. This means she was a public sinner. Because y'all know everybody without Jesus is sinners. Some of us are private sinners, come on now. And some of us are public sinners. Y'all remember Tina Turner had a song. She said, I'll be your private dancer. This woman was a public sinner. That's why they knew. They said she was a known public sinner. She was actually a prostitute. And when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. Now, you need to understand, Pharisees are extremely religious, dogmatic, inflexible people. They are very legalistic people. And how she got in the house, I don't know. But when she heard Jesus, she bust up in the house, into the Pharisee's house, and brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, weeping, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. He spake within himself. How many of y'all know that Jesus knows your thoughts? Jesus was always exposing people's thoughts. They would be thinking something. He said, well, why are you thinking that? He said, oh, the reason why you're thinking that is because, I mean, because you couldn't even have a private thought around Jesus. He says, and he began to spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman that this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, owed him money. One owed him 500 pence, about a year and a half wages, okay? And another owed him 50 pence. 50 pence, just a couple months' wages. He said, and when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. He said, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said, unto Simon, see this woman. I entered into your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And you gave me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you didn't anoint. But this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. I want to talk this morning on Thanksgiving morning about doing the most. Now, Pastor Marcia said this a couple weeks ago when she was preaching, and it struck a chord in me. She said, I do the most because he's done the most. And this woman was definitely doing the most. I mean, we have all kinds of people who worshiped and bowed down and made homage. But y'all really, come on, this woman was doing the most. She came up from behind him, stooped down, and took her hair and started wiping his feet, cleaning his feet with her hair. then and Jesus, I don't know how long Jesus let this go on, because before he even addressed it, it seems as if she was doing it and Jesus was just going on eating his chicken wing. Talking about past the hot sauce, eating his collard greens and macaroni, and everybody else is messed up. How he just going to go on business as usual with this woman doing all this, wiping his feet and kissing his feet and crying and the water from her eyes is what she's using to clean his feet. Can't y'all see the hair all around Jesus' toes and all that kind of stuff? And some of them are probably even being disgusted by this. She was doing the most. And when Jesus heard or perceived that there were those who thought the woman was being too indignant, who thought that she had no class and Jesus had even less class for allowing her to do this. And if he was really a prophet, if he was really a holy man, he wouldn't even let this woman touch him. Not to mention wipe his feet with her hair. Then on top of that, she opens this alabaster box of ointment. This is expensive perfume. So not only do they see her, now the perfume is all over the room. Y'all know we don't mind a little perfume, but some people be doing the most with their perfume. I go visit my cardiologist once a year, twice a year, and in the patient room, it says, please do not wear cologne or perfume to the visit, because they're in close quarters. And when you're in close quarters, you don't want to be smelling all that. And the truth of the matter is, if somebody or the other end of your row can smell your perfume, you're doing the most. This woman was doing the most. Perfume all over the place. I mean, this is a scene, y'all. This is a dramatic scene. And when they couldn't understand why, Jesus gave them this example and said, you know, if you owe somebody $50 and they forgave you, and somebody else owed them $50,000 and they forgave them, which one do you think would be more grateful? The one who was forgiven and had the debt canceled of $50, or the one who had the debt canceled of $50,000? And they said, surely the one with $50,000. He said, well, if you can understand that, then you can understand why this woman is doing the most. She has received the most. I've done the most for her, and that's why she's doing the most. And the reason why everybody doesn't understand your praise is because everybody ain't been through all the most you've been through. Let me talk before I preach. So this woman was definitely doing the most. Now, when you study the scripture, it's actually in all four of the gospels. But as I looked at the gospel, I had always thought this was the same story. At least two of them is the same account. But it looks like it's a possibility this was three different times a similar incident happened. Because we see one time he was at Simon's house. Another time he's at Mary and Martha's house. And there's another time that he's in another place. And all these similar incidents happen, each with their own peculiarities. So number one, this woman was doing the most because she had been forgiven the most as opposed to them. It's something if you can look at somebody else as a sinner and never have seen yourself as a sinner. Obviously, you don't realize what you've been forgiven for. And there are some people whose sins are more numerable than others. But the wages of sin is death. And unlike, I'm going to literature now, and unlike Dante's comedy, which Dante wrote in medieval times about various layers and degrees of hell. Hell is hot, period. Ain't no lesser hot. Come on, ain't no greater hot. Hell is hot. And you burn forever. And the wages of one sin take you to hell, just like the wages of 1,000 sins. So all of us need the grace of God. All of us need the mercy of God. And everybody needs the blood of Jesus. So you can't look down at anybody else and think that they have sinned more than you. But when you recognize, some of us, we recognize where you came from. You recognize some of us occasionally visit the club, and some of us lived at the club. Some folks occasionally got high, and some of y'all occasionally got sober. Y'all ain't hearing me here. I'm talking about when you've been forgiven of the most. Paul likewise was grateful that he had been forgiven for. He thanked God for the privilege of being in the ministry. 1 Timothy 1:12-13, he said, I thank God he counted me faithful. He put me in the ministry. And he looked back in 1 Timothy 1:13, looked back at where he came from. He said, I was before. Everybody say before. Amen. Aren't y'all glad that things changed with Jesus before Christ and after Christ? He said, who was before Christ? A blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious to the church of God. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Here's the real deal, the New Testament believer. Even if you didn't do it ignorantly, even if you did it deliberately, you're forgiven today because you obtained mercy. Secondly, this woman and these women, if you allow me to say, who these accounts are recorded of, they were given the best that they had. In Mark 14, verse 3-8, it's the same account that Matthew talks about in Matthew 26:6. Okay. And in this case, we see he also addressing Simon. But Mark 14, it says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. So one place describes him as the Pharisee, another place describes him as the leper. We know it must be Simon because both of them, Simon is addressed. But Jesus sat and meet and gives us a little different angle on this woman. And she came with an alabaster box of ointment or spikenard, very precious, or what we say today, very expensive. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. Come on now. She didn't sprinkle out the box. She didn't dip a finger in the box. She broke the whole box, poured the whole thing. This case says is on his head. And there were some that had indignation. Indignation means they are feeling she is indignant. Indignation means this is a shame before God. We are educated people. Nobody in their right mind carries on like that. I have a degree. I run in my spirit. But I can't be running around my church. That's doing the most. All that bucking. All that spinning. All that waving your hand. Doing the most. And they tried to put it on in some type of justifiable way. And there was some indignation that said, why was all this waste of this ointment? That's because they didn't value Jesus the way she valued Jesus. That's because they didn't esteem Jesus the way she esteemed Jesus. When you realize how much Jesus has really done for you, there's nothing too much for Jesus. Come on, church. We got to get to a place. There's no such thing as too much church when you really love the Lord. There's no such thing as too much praise when you really love the Lord. I've been thinking about this thing lately. I said, God, I need to raise up people, and particularly people I got to be connected with and who are serving me and not just serving me, but my leaders. I said, God, I need you to raise up people who don't see church as an inconvenience. I understand that there's sinners who come in here. I'm saying it's first-time guests. I'm saying it's people who don't understand the way we worship. But I shouldn't be hyped up here worrying. Let me hurry up because my leader's got to go. My preacher's got stuff to do. No, it's something wrong with that. I said, it's something wrong with that. When we really fall in love with Jesus, oh, I got to stay here till my praise gets out. I want to touch Jesus and I want Jesus to touch me. So every now and then, when we really have a move of God,
We start saying, well, we know we want to pray for people. We're going to wait in the presence. But if y'all want to go, go. And sometimes I'm like, well, we wasn't expecting you to go. Oh, you A2 Brutus? Y'all quiet? I was talking about the shallow folks. I was talking about the folks who don't really know Jesus. I'm talking to people who don't know praise, the people who don't know worship, the people who just trying to get something a little in just to say I went to church. I'm not talking about people who really love the Lord. They said this could have been sold for 300 pence, almost a year's wages. This could have taken care of somebody, could have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, leave her alone. What you bothering her for? She's wrought a good work on me. He said, the poor you're going to have with you always, but you ain't going to have me with you always. He said, you need to worship me while I'm in your presence. When you're in my presence, you need to pour out your heart before me. When you're in my presence, you need to bask in my presence. When I show up, don't you leave. Oh, glory to God. When I show up, wait in my presence. When I show up, bask in my presence. When I show up, worship in my presence. When I show up, give me glory in my presence. Because when praises go up, blessings will come down. And if you seek my face, I'll give you my hand. Look at this. It says, verse 8. The second part said she was given the best of what she had. I don't have a boat to give you like Peter. I don't have a grave that I can loan you like Joseph. Oh, glory to God. I don't have a robe that I can give you. I don't have a crown that I can give you. I don't have jewelry that I have. But I went through my house. And I said, let me find the best of the best that I had. It may not even be much of somebody else, but it's the best that I had. And Jesus said in the 8th verse, she had done what she could. My God. Y'all didn't catch that. Said she's done what she could. Maybe she can't give money like somebody else, but she can worship like she can. Oh, glory to God. Maybe they don't have all the time like other people, but she did what she could. All God is expecting you to do is give him the best praise that you can. Give him the best offering that you can. Look, somebody say, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to do what I can. Stop comparing yourself to everybody. I'm going to do the best that I can. The Bible says she did what she could. This was the best she had. Maybe this was her retirement. Ooh, Jesus. Maybe this was her retirement offering. Maybe this was her child's college fund offering. But she said, while I'm in the presence of Jesus, I'm going to give him the best that she had, that I have. Number three, this woman was doing the most. In John 12, gives us a name. Talks about Mary. She was doing the most because she had experienced the resurrection power of Jesus. A little passing verse there in John 12. Sorry, in verse 1. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. 6 days before, he's getting ready to be persecuted and prosecuted and crucified. 6 days before Passover, he came to Bethany. Look at this. Where Lazarus was, which had been dead. Bible redundant, trying to let you get the point. Where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Now, he wasn't play dead. He was dead for real. Lazarus, which had been dead. When's the last time you ate with somebody which had been dead? They there sitting having dinner with the man who had been dead. There they made him a supper. Jesus often ate at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. They were siblings. Remember, we know that because Jesus had went there often, and which is why Mary and Martha got mad when he sent for him. When he said, my brother's sick, and he waited. Oh, you didn't wait when I fried that chicken. Oh, when you was hungry, it didn't take you no time to get here. You were here on time for dinner time. And now my brother said you can't show up. What's up with that, Jesus? And so now Lazarus had been dead. Verse 2, and they made him a supper. Mary and Martha served. And Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Can you imagine everybody sitting at the table? He eating just like he ain't never been dead. He drinking that Kool-Aid just like he ain't never been dead. I ain't never seen a man who was dead drink Kool-Aid before. But then Mary, give her name, pulled out a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped with his feet with the hair. And now John gives more detail. It was Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, the one who's going to betray him, that one. He said, why was this ointment not spent, sold, given to the poor? But what I want you to see here, her sins are forgiven. Given the best she had. But she had experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. She was grateful that her brother's dead. Her brother, which was dead, is now alive. Sometimes, some of us, you need to give God praise for that prayer he answered for your family member. For that brother, for that sister. Come on. You was all right, but you know they wasn't serving God. But because of your prayer, God had mercy on them. Because of your prayer, he spared your brother, spared your sister. Got your child out of jail who deserved to be under the prison. But because you prayed, because you sowed a seed, because of your faithfulness to God. Oh, they were blessed vicariously through you. If you're saved, if you're born again, you have personal experience with the resurrection power of Jesus. Ephesians 5:5-1, it says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He drops down to verse 5 and says, even when we were dead in sin, have he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Every time you think about you shouldn't give God praise, you ought to think about, I was dead, but thank God I'm now alive. I thought I was alive, but I was a living dead. I was a walking mummy, but I didn't know. I wasn't fit to live. I wasn't ready to die. And I thought everything was all right. I was partying, but I was dead. I was sleeping with this one, sleeping with that one, but I was dead. I was drinking, but I was dead. I was getting high, but I was dead. And I didn't really know life until I met the giver of life. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not pray, but have everlasting life. Now you got everlasting life on the inside of you. You ought to thank God that you were dead, but now you're alive. Somebody say, I'm glad to be alive. Glory to God. In Acts 3, just before I get ready to close this, we read about somebody else who was doing the most in Acts 3. In Acts 3, 6-9, Peter and John, they're going into the temple early in the morning to pray, as was their custom. Man was there begging, as he always did. He figured this is the best place to beg because people go to church used to giving. This is the best place to go to beg. And so he comes to Peter and John and asks them for something, and they said, silver and gold have I none. I really believe that means they don't have no money on them. But such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, I got to set this up. This was a man who was lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked. Are y'all listening to me? He had not, he used to walk, not he lost the activities of his limb, not he's now a paraplegic or a quadriplegic as a result of a spinal cord injury. This man has lived his whole life watching people do what he was never capable of doing. Needing somebody who is benevolent enough to take him somewhere and carry him somewhere. And most likely they took him every day to the temple. But Peter takes him by the hand, lifts him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. Oh my goodness. Now you can say what you want, but the man went into church doing the most. Verse 8 says, and he leaped up. Stood and walked with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, y'all know this ain't how we do it at the synagogue.
God has already done so much for us. Giving him praise is the least we can do. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that when it comes to giving thanks, we should always do the most to show our gratefulness to a great God. Order this CD-DVD combination today for a love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Doing the Most.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.